This is a famous story. It's alluded to in the baptismal rite when I anoint the ears of the infant and say, may the Lord soon open up your ears and your mouth that you may hear the word of God and preach it, speak it out. That's what this man did, you see. His ears were opened, his tongue was loosed, and he began to speak it. That's why we pray to have open ears. Because if we get it straight, we can share it. And that requires, our ears can be open physically and quite closed spiritually. So we hear it every day, yeah, it's fine. And it never changes our lives. Now, we come to this part in the book of Genesis. We begin, it's the beginning of chapter 3. It's the analysis of sin and the pointing to the cause of all the suffering in the world, all the darkness, even some of the cosmic disturbance. A lot of it comes from sin. And so we're told two things here, that this couple meant to be the source of the human race, beloved by God, sinned, and all of us feel the effect. The teaching here, as I've tried to say, it is so profound. I mean, to think of these people as like sort of fourth world pygmies making up little fairy tales is such an affront to the Word of God, to God Himself, and to the people He chose, Israel. The last line we had yesterday said that Adam and Eve were naked, arumim, the word in Hebrew, but they felt no shame with each other. There was unveiled communication. Now, just so happened there's a word very much like it, which means sly, cunning, that sort of a thing. And this text opens up. Now, the serpent was the most arum of all the animals. The most naked, I guess so, in a way, he doesn't have fur. But the most cunning. Now, who is he? That the Lord God had made, whoever he is, he's under God's authority. And we should never forget that. Everybody knows who he is. Now, he asked the woman, so then, God has said you shall not eat of any tree in the garden. Anyone who would say a thing like that is already evil. God planted this whole garden so that they could have it, except for this one tree. And he warned them about this tree. And as I pointed out, you know, to Adam, and he told Eve, this was an invitation to trust, to have the whole relationship come up to a higher level, to trust. The woman said to the serpent, of the fruit of the trees in the garden we may eat, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the middle of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, and you shall not touch it. He knows he's got her right already. She's making up little laws to protect the big law. She wants that fruit. She wants to be able to do what she wants and declare whether it's good or evil. So it's not enough that God said it. Don't touch it. He never said it. You can touch it all you want. Don't eat it. Don't take it into yourself. When she answers like that, he knows he's got her. She should have said, so God said, you can't eat any of the trees of the garden. Can't you tell who that is? Who would talk that way? Can't you see it? Oh, we're dumb, but she's dumber. And the serpent said, you will not die. God said, you will die. Mot tamut, which means you'll surely die. And the serpent says, you won't die. And she still doesn't catch on to who he is. Just denies God. Now, this isn't like watching a movie. This is like examining our hearts. This is what we do every time we sin. You know, whatever God said, but, you know. For God knows that on the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like gods, knowing good and evil. So what, God is holding something back on you. Can you hear the Holy Spirit working in your heart? Can you see Him? Can you hear Him challenging your, my attachment to sin? Can you hear it? You'll be like gods. You can do what you want. And you can declare whether it's good or evil. This is the heart of the whole abortion culture. Right there. Can you see how deep it is? Can you see how people get swept into this with hardly knowing what they're doing? But they're caught into something gravely evil. I've mentioned this before, you know. In the Bible, we're taught to look at the act as it is. This disobedience, this abortion, is a deeply evil reality. Ah, but they didn't really understand that. That's culpability. That's something else. The evil is in the act. And the harm that it does to the one who does it, the harm that it does to everybody who's around, because it spreads. And this is rebellion against God. Then the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was attractive to the eye, and the tree was desirable to gain knowledge. That's power, right? Knowledge is power. So she took of its fruit and she ate, and she also gave it to her husband at her side, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were arumim. They knew they were naked. Not wise, naked. And so, they sewed fig leaves and made coverings for themselves. The first effect of sin is shame. The first effect of sin. No more unveiled communication. That's why it's so profound that nobody had to go to work, you know, we could do a lot with this text. Then they heard the sound of Adonai God. The kol, the sound, the voice, strolling in the garden. And the man and his wife hid themselves from the face of Adonai God among the trees of the garden. To hear the voice of God, you know, that's an invitation to obey. They go hide. That's the second effect of sin, fear. God promises us He'll free us from shame and fear. If you listen closely to the text in Advent, one of the themes is always, I will take away your shame. You will know you are forgiven. And then you will cling to me. So Adonai God called out to the man and said to him, where are you? He answered, I heard the sound of you in the garden, and I feared because I was naked. And he said to him, God, who told you that you were naked? Is it that you have eaten of the tree from which I told you not to eat? There's nothing, you know, it's in the direct disorder. You ate of the tree that I told you not to eat. It's totally personal. And the man answered, the woman you gave me to be at my side. We all laugh. Do you know what a tragedy this is? Why couldn't he say, look, God, take it easy on her. You know, it's, you gave me the command. And give her a break. It's my fault. That's what Christ did. This is the depth of the corruption in the human race. You see, we'll turn one another in rather than acknowledge our guilt. And the woman said, the serpent deluded me and I ate. Paul says, remember in 2 Corinthians, I'm afraid. It just says the serpent deceived Eve. You'll be deceived. And I espoused you as a pure bride to Christ. And that is the reason why there's the mess we're in. Now think of the power of the act of love of Jesus Christ on the cross, where he gave obedience to his Father. He, the Son of God, he gave obedience, the thing Adam didn't give. He gave love. He gave trust. And because he did that, that's what makes amends for our sins, all of them. The 765 billion, billion sins, trillion, trillion sins in this world. Because the Son of God, in an act of love, gave back to the Father the love, the trust, and the obedience that he deserves.